Even a week ago, if someone had have asked you if they thought, if you thought you could take your job from the office, from the site, from wherever you work and do it at home, you might have thought, well, sometime in the distant future, but perhaps not this week. How things have changed very, very quickly. So let's look at working from home, at the future, at how quickly we'll need to adapt both personally but also professionally. Steve Sammartino is our regular futurist here on ABC Newcastle. Good morning.
Good morning.
It feels like the future's been sped up just a little bit.
Oh, it does. And this is how it happens. We often know that we have the technology and the possibility for something, and then we have a calamitous event which forces us to reassess the possibility. I mean, if we think back to World War II, the workforce then was very male-dominated in all areas, in manufacturing, you know, right throughout the supply chain. And when everyone went off to war, we said, hey, who's going to make the food and build the cars and build the tanks? And that was really the start of the women work revolution and really equality for women. And it was that moment that changed our workforce to be on the path to equality that we still have today. And this is one of those moments. Mm. This is one of those moments where we're forced to reassess whether or not people accumulating in offices is really necessary, and not for all work, but certainly for office work. And we're going to have to do it a different way, and we're going to learn a lot because we have to do this.
Yeah. It's even been interesting to see work that I think historically in the past we thought couldn't be done at home. If I look at education and how quickly, not that schools are shut yet, but how quickly we're starting to rally around that, and universities, and there's a whole heap of sectors that we would have thought maybe, oh, well, that's great for public servants or it's great for the private sector, but it's not going to work for my job. And that's sort of changing even this week.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I think the universities and the schools is a great example. And one of the things that we sort of forgot is why offices existed in the first place, or why these education places existed in the first place. I mean, the reason we would go to a school or a university is because we had to aggregate in the middle where there was a teacher and where the tools were, even for an office. Think about it. The idea that most people didn't even have phones, you know, after World War II. Most people certainly didn't have computers in their homes until, you know, the late 90s and internet connections until then as well. And so the reason that offices and schools and education places existed was because the tools of production were centralized, and they had to be centralized because they were expensive and we didn't have them in the home. And then what happens is these tools, they end up in our home and we kind of forget and still keep turning up to that centralized place and go, oh, actually we can do it at home, but we just didn't realize that we could, because we're just creatures of habit and we just do what we did, you know, last year and the previous decade and so on. And then when something radical happens, you go, actually, we really can do it from home. And you know, not every job, but certainly lots of them. And it's really because we've got the distributed tools now and access to these tools. You know, you have better technology most often in your house. You know, then your company's usually got the older technology these days. It's been a flip.
Mm. There's been a lot of memes going around our beloved NBN that we love to hate. We love to hate on, but we also really love to have. How do you think that our internet in Australia is going to cope with potentially this influx of people using it at homes, at peak times, on private connections?
Yeah, it's going to really struggle. What a lot of people don't know is that the NBN, the major issue usually within the home, is that we don't have fibre to the premise or fibre to the curb. It's mostly fibre to the node. In the major cities, you know, like Sydney, Melbourne, Newcastle and so on, in the CBD areas, what we have is we have fibre goes all the way into the buildings themselves and then it distributes out. And what we have in the home is that we don't have that. So it's almost like having a highway of, you know, 10-lane highway, and then it goes into one little dirt road into your house. And so that's why it gets choked there. And so even though the NBN might be strong enough when we're in our CBD pulling out the data there, it doesn't work that well in the home. Mm. So I think we're going to realise that what we've got here is a bit of a piecemeal bit of infrastructure with the NBN. I know that what I do in my home, because I'm in a bit of a black spot, is I often tether my phone to use the 4G through my mobile, which gives me faster downloads than actually the NBN does in my house.
Yeah.
And so, it actually, you know what it points out? It points out that really infrastructure, major infrastructure, probably shouldn't be privatized. Now, I need to point out I'm a raving capitalist and I'm all for, you know, profit and private industry. But there are certain things in infrastructure that, even though we had this efficiency doctrine in the late 1980s, because a lot of our public companies were kind of bloated, our public service infrastructure, now we're at a time where we're building things out. It's a build-out phase. When you have the NBN competing with Telstra, competing with Optus, with their 5G towers, then you end up with this mishmash of stuff that can't service the economy. And at times like this, where you need the government to be decisive and almost autocratic to help us get through it, you end up with real problems with the infrastructure. I mean, imagine if the electricity and water and Telstra connectivity was government-owned, they could say to small businesses, look, for the next 3 months, we're going to waive our fees, we're going to do things like that. We've seen that in Europe, but in Australia, we're a little bit struck because what we have is these companies are all privately owned now.
I have had my telecommunications provider send an email saying we are working very hard to do our best to make sure that nothing happens. What can they do in this moment?
If they really care, they'd say, look, while all these small business people are sending their staff home, restaurants and cafes and all those things we take for granted, how are these people going to pay their fees? If they really care, they'd say, you know what we're going to do? Provide our services free for the next 2 or 3 months. No, I really believe that. I mean, that's what Morrison shouldn't be having an economic stimulus package. That's crazy. He needs to be having an economic survival package where he looks at people's wages and people's lost wages and looks to repair that. I mean, the idea that we say, oh, we're not going to have excess tax on payroll tax, who's that helping? It's not helping anyone. It's helping a corporation. Payroll taxes, saving that doesn't make any sense if you can't afford to pay someone. It's a little bit back to front. So I think that we need to be serious about this. This is a global pandemic. We need decisive action that's akin to when we have a war because we've got borders closed. That's the level that we're at here. And it seems as though we're reacting rather than getting in front of it.
If we look at work again and the changes that we're making now to be safer, to practice social distancing and self-isolation, when we are through this, and we will be through this, there will be an end to this at some point. Do you think that we'll go back to where we were even a week ago, or this will be the new future of work?
No, this is going to be the new future of work. Here's what companies are going to realise. That most of the companies that are in the service or information, which is about half of the workforce, they're going to realise that it's a lot cheaper to let people work flexibly. They're going to realise that they don't need to run the office space, which is very expensive. That, yeah, we need to get together and have our meetings, and we might do that 1 or 2 days a week. But people are going to realise, companies will realise that it's lower cost to let people work flexibly. You know, the idea of 9-to-5 work, which was based on the fact that we didn't have electricity in offices. We had to work when there was sunlight. Right? That's where that comes from, right? That's the historical truth of that. We're going to realise that people can work at home flexibly. We don't have to be struck at 9-to-5 with information work. You know, we could start work at 10 and then stop at 2, pick up the kids, drop them off, and then do a little bit of work when they go to bed. I think this is going to be a permanent shift in information work. And I think that we're going to see a big shift away from offices once things get back to normal, and remote work is going to become a possibility, and this is the learning exercise for that.
Is it good for us to be working remotely and having those split shifts and maybe not controlling our hours as much? Is there a point of that actually comes at a cost?
Yeah, look, there's definitely cost, but the real question is who has the control? So if your organisation determines when you do that work, well, that's not good. But if we get the flexibility and the workers get to choose when they do it with information work, and then we set that expectations, then that's freedom, not control. So if it turns out that way, it's better for everyone. And in terms of the cost of the social interaction, well, we just get to have those interactions in our local community, which I think is more valuable, and it gives us diversity in thinking and interactions rather than sitting in one silo with one set of thoughts with one organisation.
Well, and we are seeing different sorts of social interaction in a time where we can't socially interact the way that we did, again, even a week ago. So we are still seeing that interaction. It just might be in a different way.
Yeah, I actually organised a lunch on Friday with some friends where we're going to have a Zoom meeting where we're going to have our liquid lunch, maybe have a little beer, sneaky beer, and make ourselves a little toasted sandwich and have our little lunch, me and my mates, that we do on our Friday, but we'll be doing it across the web, and that'll be fun and interesting. It'll certainly be nuanced and something we haven't done before. So seeing a little bit of those ideas popping up as well. So these are interesting times.
I love that. I can't wait to hear how that goes next time we talk. Steve, you'll have to give us an update on virtual
for
Friday
sure.
lunch.
That's it.
Thank you. Chat soon.
Chat soon. Bye.
Steve Sammartino there, our regular futurist here on ABC Newcastle Mornings, taking you through that future of work, which maybe has hit us a little quicker than we thought it would.